because it's rather an important subject in this kind of a situation. The willingness to be born every day, bringing something new into birth. Any thinking process which solves a problem in an original and useful way. A state of mind everyone is capable of. An attitude, an ability to see, to be aware, to respond. That's Erich Fromm, I think. Scientific genius is the capacity to be surprised, the capacity to be puzzled. And we often think, you know, in a laboratory situation or in the kind of business I'm in, you know, you sort of think it's restricted to there. But it's really more important in an interpersonal relationship between man and wife or between friends. It's even more important to be creative there, to make every day a new day. Are you ready? Okay. So now, as soon as we get, you know, to the end of the first sequence, and we'll cut it and turn on the lights for a bit of discussion. Well, what's your reaction to that? Pretty fast history of the world. How does it start out? Martin? Yeah, it's a community, really, isn't it? It's, at least that's what it told me. I mean, it's kind of interesting. They formed a community. And what did they do with it?
Used it for a pattern.
Well, they really pointed a sucker. I mean, he's a ball guy. Huh? A ball guy. But the community action sort of worked. Anything else on this?
There was development of weapons.
Yeah, their first act was, after you pick a fall guy, you're going for the kill.
I got from it that man's needs then were basically simple.
Are there any? Right. Progress in better instruments for killing.
You have the creation of, after they kill the animal, I mean, the cave may be there for that first creation, this pride in killing the animal.
Right, and as we take the sequence in, yes?
Also, the first sequence is recorded too, in a painting like the end. I don't know if this is one of the cave paintings.
Yeah, that's sure. Yeah. Weren't they the Lascaux paintings?
Yeah, Lascaux,
Altamira. Yeah, very perceptive. It's the first time it's been brought up.
What?
In any group I've been with.
Well, let's say it again.
Pardon? Tell her what you said.
Well, look, I think archaeologists study earliest man or women earliest man on the earth through these prehistoric cave paintings in Europe, and they're in France and Spain. One in France is called Lascaux, and the one in Spain is called Altamira.
It looks very much like that. When we went to Lascaux, that's exactly the way it looked. You know, what point did you make about the painting?
This is the paintings are made as rather they record the killing of the animals in the painting, similar to this.
The pride in killing it from the way you make the animal.
Right, and then we progress through. You have anything to say about the sequence up through the Dark Ages? Roman legions, what caused the lights to go out? Remember? Furnace? Yeah, but in each picture, as the soldiers marched through, the lights went out, right? And then we stopped, and then we had an unusual sequence.
Excuse me, as monks marched through, the lights went out.
Well, they had soldiers in this one.
Looked like barbarians.
Yeah, well, at least they carried spears. And then we had a sequence of the developments, right? In modern times, you know, there are worlds larger than ours and smaller than ours, and circulation of the blood and so forth. And each time, the doors were closed on them, or the windows. What kind of windows were they?
Church.
Right. The organized church. Do you want to say anything more about that?
The last window cracked.
Yes. Yeah, that was the end of it. The last window cracked, that's right. And then what happened? That's right. We started the Industrial Revolution. And every sequence then, what was it?
Wheels.
Rapidly. Wheels. 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 Belts. Wheels and belts. And at the end, it kept gaining speed. Huh? And the last sequence, I mean, it went faster. It sort of ran off the top. And then how does that last scene hit you?
Revolution.
The atom being over the top at all.
Yeah. What does that signify to you? Because I get different reactions on this. I'd like yours.
Maybe hippie over than hit.
Right now, the one thing is that you could say science is much more destructive than the church, because the church never threatened to blow up the whole world. Oh. Yeah, right. They ought to face this. You know, it isn't the church that produced that nuclear bomb.
Science doesn't threaten to do that either, man.
What? Yeah.
Any other reaction to this?
Notice it's hanging up there above all that pollution.
Yeah. You see, we, and you see, Joe, my co-author here, he's coming to my rescue. You see, it all depends on where you stand on this. Because, and it does, in a way, heavy hangs over your head, and it has the power of rather great destruction. But on the other hand, it is also, those of us in the business, say this is also a hope. Because we know that this atom has probably been responsible in the last 25 years for a greater advance in biology and medicine than any other period in history heretofore in completeness up to the last 25 years. It's unlocked more biological secrets than any time heretofore. This relates to, in all aspects really, of biology and medicine. It also contributes in industry. And the other part about it is that it also holds within it the power for good, as far as nuclear power goes, which is compared to the other sources of power, it is the cleanest, and it will help us clean up this other mess. So you see, it all depends on how you look at it. I'll be discussing this later in the week. Is there anything more anybody wants to say about this? We are in trouble. All right. Okay, what did he tell you?
Right. Yes. Usually when you crack an egg, you expect the yolk to come out, so here it's something that you didn't expect.
Yeah, it starts out, you usually see an egg, but then the second one was
A bust,
unless you're a Texas oil man, I guess.
Something in that on preconception.
Pardon?
Something in that on preconception. Assumption.
Also, when they said ideas come when you look at something, you see something else. You look at the A and you see the one.
If you don't expect the unexpected, you'll never find it.
Yes. good, but some are beautiful. What's that for? Who's on? Are you on tonight?
Yeah, I said keep on with this for a while.
Okay. We'll move on faster. What does what the skull tell you? Anything on the skull?
It's your imagination when you're listening to a boring lecture.
Yeah, yeah. You try to maybe make some associations. Now, how in the world am I going to remember that, you know? See, or anything else, or is language what you make it, you know? You make your own definitions. Anything else on this?
What was going on outside was totally different than what was going on inside.
Then we went into the numbers game. You know? Social Security number, telephone number.
Dehumanizing process?
Any questions between the numbers either.
Just numbers.
Yeah.
Talking in numbers.
Yeah, they're talking in numbers. And that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. Like that's where we are. By number.
And then the stop sign sequence. You know, it's always interesting to play this to various groups and see where they laugh the most. This one, I know, in most of this, I don't know any more about this than you do, but in this case, I do, I may know a little more than some of you. When they were photographing this sequence in the Los Angeles street corner, you see, they got their actors all set up. And the photographer was up here, and he's ready to go. And they were about to start out, and somebody joined them that wasn't in the show. And the old photographer was up here. You know, he set this all up. So they started across, and they came to the stop, and the lady that joined them stopped. And when they turned, she turned. She went through the whole sequence just right with them.
Did they pay her for an acting?
I don't know. Prove the point. Prove the point. Huh? Do you want to say anything about it?
To me, that was just like I bring a silly needlework along with me now. You know, you just always have to take advantage of every little minute. I mean, I just felt like those people, why couldn't they just wait at their stop at noon and had an exercise or do something? It was just...
Yeah,
to me, it seemed that we didn't have to use the minds at all. The machine did it all for us, you know. Everything was controlled by machine.
No, but to the person involved in that, it all seems sensible. The one who wouldn't do like the rest would be considered crazy. Yeah.
Did it remind anybody of that movie, you know, about balloons, you know, that Jason Robards was in, the lawsuit about 5,000 clowns? Clowns. I mean, that's exactly what they did on a New York street, and it was not, you know, they all walked, they stopped, they turned.
What do you got to say about the dancer? Yes?
In the car sequence, were the cars part of the acting group?
No. Okay. Not that I know of.
It looked like the cars were a lot closer to the camera. I was taking a telephoto lens.
I think it was. Anything on the dancer? I'll be very interested in your reaction to it. No reaction on that, huh?
Well, you got a good reaction. I need some reaction on this.
Got a mixed up head?
She wasn't watching.
Now, it was a milkshake. I usually make mine thicker than that. But
Bible study in the shaft, Leo.
Yes.
Yeah, we're just gesturing it over.
Oh, in the shaft?
The lift is a little cool, yeah. The shaft is nice and there's nobody playing pool, so it's quiet.
Okay.
Bible study in the shaft. I don't know.
You don't want to say anything more about the dancer, huh? I mean, that sort of continues the machine bit, huh? Now and then you got to stop for a few calories and then start back the...
Liam?
Yes?
To me, you can't take the people individually, the three, because it said don't
spell out to one stereotype of life. And don't be the dancer, and don't be the mod hippie, and don't be the old lady, you know.
I thought that when you look at something, you see something else, that the action of the dancer is herself was comparable to a milkshake machine, which was, that's why they opened it up and put the ingredients in.
What I got was, well, you know, I couldn't tell what the scene was, but it was obviously, it was either a party or a nightclub or something. But nevertheless, it was the same reason that the girl was there, it was the same reason that the younger generation drank milkshakes before, you know, it was just a different thing.
Any other action to that? All right, we'll go to the, or do you want to say anything, you know, about the hang-up?
Oh, Herbie has to go because he's got some bottles.
We'll see you tomorrow, Herb. Those of you who want to join Herb, the significance of the mother thing. Nothing to say about it? Freedom, man, that's what it's all about. He was still tied, though, wasn't he? And then the bane of many people's existence, the cocktail party. You know, you have sort of this session where you carry on a conversation, but it's just about that much, you know. Nobody really understands the other person, and nobody home, huh? Nobody home. And then we had an interesting sequence at the end of this, you know. What did that say to you? Remember the dandelion seeds and the fish, the birds? Does that say anything to you on
blowing in the wind?
Sort of blowing in the wind, but
isn't it just taking off on the dandelion? I mean, the dandelions is a, you know, resembling fish or human.
Part of it is that, yeah, I think that's how I looked at it. This freedom of action, this freedom. In order to create, you have to have this freedom. And the other thing is that you the creative person, the really creative person. Sees something extraordinary in something very simple. Maybe that he's seen a thousand of, you know. But this, if you've ever really looked at a dandelion seed, it's truly a remarkable thing, you know. But most, you know, most people, you know. So it's a dandelion seed.
Leo?
Yes.
That's an example. Again, you know, looking at something and seeing something else, you just started out.
That's right.
It's a good example of simile, you know, like your poetic simile.
Right,
assembly.
Yes.
Yeah, a dandelion, like fish, like birds.
Right.
Well, that's again keeping in tune with this, looking at something and seeing something else, some other meaning that's not usually associated.
Right.
I think
that's a good point. I think that they all, most all of those things have that sort of reason. It's not like one thing happened in life.
Yes. All right. Next sequence. I should say that Saul Blatt, he put in a terrific amount of effort into designing, you know, just how all these boxes would fit together. He expended a tremendous amount of effort in this. In that first sequence, what does it say to you?
Everything's going to go wrong. You got to keep trying.
Well,
pardon?
Imposing his will by due course.
Yes. Anything else? In that first sequence, there's something that always bothered me. You notice how he placed them? Yes. In other words, in the whole creative process, I mean, there are certain basic laws that you still have to abide by, like gravity. Unless we get anti-gravity, I guess I shouldn't discourage you in this, but you know, there are certain rules that we have to sort of stay within bounds in.
Is that really true, though? I mean, aren't some of the most creative things those things where people have ignored those bounds? Most creative people?
Well, I don't know about gravity.
Well, they made it to the moon.
Yeah,
you had to consider it. You couldn't ignore it. Yeah, you couldn't ignore it, see?
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, the whole basis for the success of...
They used gravity to get to the moon.
Pardon?
They used gravity to get to the moon.
Well, I feel his desire was stronger than actually knowing all the rules and the principles first. I mean, he just wanted, he had a strong impulsive desire.
Yes. Anything else?
He finds out about the other maybe afterwards.
Sometimes it seems like you're being fought all the way, you know? All right, anything else on it?
And then the solution finally dawns on him.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to get away from it, you know, like Einstein said, you know? You might have to sort of walk away from it. I remember when I was trying to work differential equations, and sometimes, you know, you just have to leave it for a while, or, you know?
Leo?
Yes?
Couldn't that be like like somebody writing a novel and having all the characters absolutely take over and you know, the way they do sometimes with authors? That it has to be something they had to do with the obvious?
Could well. I've never attempted that. Could well be. Yes?
It was like at first when he was putting those boxes together, when they had the quote, he said, you know, just a lot of hard work and you just got to really work at it. And then Einstein was saying, it's like all of a sudden you're eating an apple and it just kind of pops up right in the face. And that's what happened. The very next scene is when he finds his hand or he gets an idea with all these hands and everything, and he has this thing. It just came.
Often it's by this wonderful thing we call in science serendipity. You luck out, huh? By accident you discover it when you really weren't planning on it. We call it serendipity because it sounds better.
Then why was he so pleased?
You have to be smart enough to recognize it.
Why was
he so pleased with himself and thought that he had reached the solution with the arms and legs and feet, and yet the wife suggested the American flag, and he went along with it.
What's your reaction to that?
That's what sold it.
But he was pleased with her suggestion.
Yeah, you see, it reminded me, well, here, anybody else say anything to that?
That's for sure we get credit.
I think she was just joking, being sarcastic.
That's right. I don't know, probably, you know, she acted to me like, you know, she'd been putting up with this guy for all this time, you know, he's always on to something, you know, so he calls her out again, you know, she comes out there, you know, like, boy, I wonder what it's this time, you know, and she looks up to her and looks at it in disbelief again, then, you know, she's got to say something, all it needs is an American flag, you know, boy. Great, you know, and she looks at him and says, oh, Lord, he really believed it, you know. And she was surprised that he put it on there.
Well, that's the way some great ideas come, is from a joke or from some sarcastic.
Any other response to that? Do you put any significance in the three people that were pictured here relative to their response? Edison, Hemingway, Einstein.
They all have the same thread running through. Stay with it, have faith, and it will come if you kept standing.
Is there anything similar about these three people?
They're all
dead. They all said failure at the beginning.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You hear it? She says they all started out as failures, you know. Well, pretty much. I don't know too much about young Hemingway. I mean, he was sort of a rounder all his life, but he had sort of an unusual view. I didn't know. His son was with. I was with him in prison camp, and he told me a little bit about it. But But we all know about Einstein and Hemingway, don't we? I mean, they flunked. They sort of flunked out when they were kids. They were not accepted. The teachers, they give their teachers a bad time, and their teachers didn't think they had it. All right, let's go to the judgment. In that first sequence, before he appears again, the artist appears. Do you know what this crowd is?
Chicago,
yeah, it's in Chicago on there, on this Picasso. Yeah. Yeah. He filmed it on that Picasso in Chicago to show the response to this, which I thought was rather clever. What was the characteristic trait that went through that whole evaluation? Yeah, they didn't like it, that's for sure.
Still,
pardon?
They still love.
Yeah. On anything else?
They never gave a judgment on it, didn't they?
Pardon?
Yeah.
What?
They were attacking the man that made it. They all felt qualified to have a comment.
They never gave a reason why they didn't like it.
Well, but they were all cliches, weren't they? I mean, it's something you've always heard before, you know? I mean, you know, it'll never fly horrible, it'll hurt us abroad, you know, and it's all right if you like modern, you know. There was nothing really creative that I thought in the whole response, was it? Save perhaps one. You happen to be a black man, incidentally. You know, it's something with the cerebral, you know, mechanism or whatever it was, you know. But they were all sort of, and pretty soon, boy, they really got worked up. Is there an artist here?
Is anyone not an artist?
And then his response.
I think the athlete said something about, you know, society. Established rules on creativity that are bred into us all. We accept what we consider normal.
I got the idea that every man's invention or idea has to be subjected to the judgment of the people. I thought of this saying that a hot idea will show how hot it is after people have thrown cold water on it.
Yeah. But also the majority evaluation may not be the right one. I mean, or the correct one. I mean, you can take the telephone. You know, I mean, at first, you know, who needs a telephone? You know, I'm sorry it was invented, but. Many days I am, but or the electric light bulb. I mean, they call the experts together, you know, to make an evaluation. They say, oh boy, you know, we don't need that electric light bulb. When Edison invented it, you know, that was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yes. Is there any significance to the fact that the artist shot first? I mean, we've got three or four art galleries within a block of our house, and sometimes the exhibits that are up there, you just feel like it is a put on. And that the artist is almost, you know, kind of wanting to wound or hurt you first or something, just because they seem so absolutely outlandish, and you know, I just don't understand, and I wonder if there was any significance to his shooting a couple times first, and then...
Well, I think you can read a couple of things. Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking of that shooting that he shot, kind of like their comments were shooting at him, and he was shooting back at them, because they weren't too fair.
But what was the statement that really collapsed him up there? No, before that. Superficial. Huh? You know, that's what, you know. But yeah, on the shooting back, you know, I wondered about that myself, you know. You can say, well, you know, a piece of art or work like this sometimes can really get to you, like your shot. And of course, that was the response on the Picasso. I mean, boy, some of them, you know, boy, it's really violent. But the other thing is, sometimes you really feel that way because an artist must be, he has to have some favorable response, you know, he despairs. And some, boy, sometimes you wish you could get those bumps, you know?
What about before he shoots? Somebody in the audience says they ought to shoot guys like that. I forgot to look to see if he shot that guy.
The first guy he shot was the one that...
something left in the decline.
Yeah, Decline of the West and Hurt Us Abroad, I think.
That thing about understanding, though, I think that's what the first, that part where they were commenting on it said is that, you know, the people didn't understand, you know, what the artist was trying to get across, you know, saying it was superficial and all that. And, you know, with that example you gave in mind, you know, I think it's, you know, perhaps, you know, there is an understanding of what the artist is trying to do, you know, his creative capacity is trying to get.
And then I think we've covered it now, except the last sequence, you know, where, you know, he recovers, as you say, you know, when there's some acceptance, and I mean he's a whole person again, until they really collapse him, you know. The material is worth $100, you know. Boy, that did it. Huh?
That last voice, that was an awful lot like his wife's voice.
I'm going to listen close on that tomorrow. that has never come up. Okay, let's have the next one. Beautiful.
That first part must surely have been a public school.
The ball factory.
This guy was not ball like
it. Why was it rejected?
It bounced too high.
What's the first thing you do to something that bounces too high?
Now,
you take it out and discard it.
Conform. Make it conform.
Into the alley. Okay. And you didn't even respect the garbage can. It missed it. I don't think they had it fixed so that it probably, you know, with the bounce it had to miss the garbage can. And then what happened?
Yeah,
it almost sounded like it was weeping, didn't it?
Then all of a sudden discovered it was free and it was happy again.
So it's freer and it's happy, it's out of the same alienation.
And that's a lot of pretty remarkable things start out in the alley, huh? In the discarded alley. Huh? And then which way did it go down the street?
Against the traffic.
Against the traffic.
Brilliant.
Against the traffic. And then where did it end up?
Over the park.
It's a country club.
what do you have to say about that, you know, on this whole...
Wasn't there comments in the background like, wise guy, who does he think he is? And,
yeah.
You know, they're all...
They leave it sort of for your imagination, but you can sort of get that out of it, you know. And of course, there has to be concern in a situation like this. Because if you're going to play ball with this kind of a ball, they're going to have to change the rules, you know.
They're all gone to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is an unusual thing. And of course, they couldn't very well crowd him in because he can always go somewhere else. You know, because he, you know, bounced over. And then he disappears. And then what do you have to say about that? Leaves three possibilities.
Does he disappear? Is it the fact that nobody else joined him? And they just kind of, you know, well, it was a good performance or it was a good show and some guys are that way and the guys kind of left alone.
I had an unusual reaction to this. On this night, I showed it for our dialogue group. These are students, faculty, staff. It's a kind of micro community we've organized, and And for this, in addition to the community, I was at the micro community or dialogue group, I invited my neighbor over, our neighbor, who is Dr. Marjorie Green, who's an internationally famous philosopher. Philosopher. And she's head of the Department of Philosophy at University of California, Davis. And at this point, she was sort of wheeled off. And she says, now, we've seen this. There's remarkable creativity manifested here in this film. And he comes to this point, and couldn't he, with all his cleverness, come up with something other than to show the possibilities in some different way than just printing them out, you know? And she was very disturbed about this. And there was a reaction around the room. A little Oriel girl, who's a first-year medical student, says, well, she says, I think it's because he wanted to make this distinction, because this sort of is scriptural. And you always think of things scriptural as printed. And she accepted this. And I thought it was a rather interesting response. And Marjorie Green usually doesn't buy things like that too fast. Of course, it does include the various possibilities for many religions, you know, the happy hunting ground.
Wouldn't that writing be like some of the balls gathered around watching the wind bouncing high? I mean, for us, very plain, very simple. I mean, to me, it would seem possible that how many of us would be like the ball that was bouncing? I mean, we can read the print very nicely, and you know, the conclusion, the end of the story. We're like the balls gathered around, you know, not the one that sprung out, or you know, at least. The possibility is for us to spring on.
Any other response?
I sort of got the feeling that, well, at first of all, found something that he discovered he had never done before, and then he wanted to show everybody right away, and then in doing so he got carried away and went a little too far.
I just think he left the realm of their comprehension of where they just couldn't stay with it. He was out of their world.
And then
there was that pessimist that said, well, if he'd meant to, you know, if we were meant to fly, God would have given us wings.
None of them, they are all affected, though, because there are different interpretations of what happened, and it seems to, you know, in his work or his being there, or the balls being there, has affected them. He hasn't just gone off and left them unconcerned.
Leo, you know the producer? If you've talked with him?
No, I know.
Just curious.
I would like to talk to him.
Just curious as to whether or not he was affected by the movie The Red Balloon. Right? Yeah. I immediately related it to The Red Balloon in style.
What was the time of The Red Balloon?
Quite a few years ago.
He could well have been.
5 years at least.
Yeah. Well, this is since then. Yeah, my discussion group also, you know, of course, it's probably obvious to you. I mean, they brought up various possibilities. And of course, Christ is the first possibility. All right, let's roll. Yes?
Sometimes we get enthused over nothing.
But you think what he had to say was nothing? Any other response? I'd like to have some
either buy what he says or challenge him.
We have the enthusiasts and we have the other people who are the opposites. They're always...
Why do you think they use the snail here?
That's to sort of a put on, indicating the pace of change.
The pace of change. That's a very good point. I've never heard that brought up.
I think it's so they can duck back into that shell real quick.
There's also another thing about it, and that is that, you know, the sign on the snail is sort of an infinity sign. And that is, it's sort of an eternal truth, that what he said, isn't it? I mean, it really is. It's an eternal truth of what he says. But I really like Willie's response to that, that, you know, boy, go slow, right? But also that, you know, the guy thought, he makes this tremendous statement that is of great significance. And it just, you know?
It's really a question, is it? Yeah. No response from the other guy.
I thought he let the other guy turn him off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he was
right.
Yeah, I really
like that.
That happened in that first segment too, didn't it? When the guy said, I just discovered zero. And the other guy said, what did you say?
He said,
nothing.
Nothing.
That was a fun. Yeah.
Okay, now we go to the... the one that hits me at home. Of course, there are the three signs. And what do they tell you? These are all, they're kind of first cabin kind of guys. They're like uptown. Dalbaco is one of the outstanding viral oncologists probably in the world. And Bonner is certainly an outstanding man in his field, in the plant sciences. And Greenstein, I understand, is a hot shot.
A lot of years of hard work.
Pardon?
A lot of years of hard work. Yeah.
It's essentially a scientific lifetime. In every one of these, it's a scientific lifetime.
That's it.
Pardon?
I'm impressed by this. Oh, we should have the problem solved soon. Yeah. Oh, how soon? Oh, about 15 years.
Yeah, when people are dying every day.
I know.
The progress is
probably too late.
You know, whenever they hear, I'm involved in a cancer lab, almost desperately, is there an answer? Just like the other day in Geneva, when this fellow with this child with lymphoma, I mean, isn't there something coming, like next week? I mean, this is a slow go. It's a slow go.
I noticed the progression they went in. I think the first one was cancer and said, I'm very optimistic. And the second one said, well, we'll solve it in time, 15 or 20 years. The third one said, I could be wrong. And the fourth one said, I've come up against the wall.
And there are, since Bonner said this, of course, they also now have come out with this corn, that also has this high lysine content, which is a real breakthrough. If they will accept it, for example, in South America, they'd like to eat their own, use their own corn, but this will make a tremendous difference if they really utilize it. Tremendous. But that's right. And sometimes it's a chancy, kind of a life. I've had some of these myself, where you say, oh, that's a real great idea, and so you run her down and it's like that, like nothing. Hmm? You can imagine, this guy with 7 years, it's just like writing it off. I thought it was a very cleverly done, but it's very, it hits you right here, especially if you've been in the business. Yeah. It's fantastic what we don't know. Huh? Fantastic. And then, but this last sequence, which is a beautiful thing.
I sometimes hesitate even to discuss it, you know, as he ends up, you know, on the beach. Freedom, you know, that the beach and the birds mean to me. You know, and I like to go on the beach with the birds and sort of this release. And Howe, it's too bad Howie wasn't here, you know. I mean, the I am.
I'm curious about your use of this in a discussion group that you described this group before. For how long have you used this film now?
I only used it in this. I have used it for quite a few things. I probably shouldn't admit this. I use it for my graduate students in a seminar. And partially is an evaluation. You can really find out about somebody on how they respond to this film, on how what their insight is into this thing. On the dialogue, I used it there as sort of a break the ice kind of a thing. We had supper, and then we showed this and got the response to it and got some dialogue going. You know, whenever you bring a group together, hardly any of them knew each other. This is the first night. And it really did open up. I mean, it opened them up. Everyone said something. Sometimes later, we didn't always have them say something. You know, but they all said something.
You said you could really tell a lot about their insights in the first use of it. I consider this direct image communication. There are words and there are narrations, so it is not purely the image, but I consider it direct communication, and I would believe that Mr. Bass certainly meant it that way. In other words, we don't always have to interpret with words what we see. It was, I think, really, the people that discussed this showed pretty much a consensus on reaction to all these things, which means if he had a very specific goal, he achieved it.
I've had very diverse responses. I've had very diverse responses to this.
Can you get an example of something you had?
Well, of course, some of them I brought up as I went through, and I haven't made notes on all of them. Somebody brought up the one on the black. I've already mentioned that. Listen, I'll try to look them up for tomorrow. I may have some other notes, but there were several things that, you know, I hadn't thought of. And some of which you haven't mentioned here tonight. Of course, some of them I brought up to you that were brought up to me. But on this, you see, in the field of science, you see, they not only have to, you know, be able to interpret this, but they also have to verbalize it. Anything else? Anybody want to say anything?
It was interesting, the connection between science and art. The Vega and the others. Because so much of science is art, you know. Like Larry's rock slides, to me, are high-quality form of art. See that?
Yeah. And it's interesting to see some of the things that John Mockestead has done that resemble some.
Yes.
And he was really felt first depressed and unencouraged after he talked to Larry about it. So this is all I have to say, unless you want to just